everybody. I'm already feeling very happy every single time I hear my intro music. Well, I'm Beatty Cohn-Vredos, and welcome, welcome again, everyone, to the Ask Beatty Show. And happy Valentine's Day to all of you. And whether or not you have a Valentine, or whether or not you are looking for a Valentine, and you're going to be hearing some amazing stories from two of my guests a little later on in the show. Love is certainly at the priority of all of our lists. I think that is, when you think about what is really important in life, you know, it's not the bigger, the better, the more. I think that what we're really all searching for is a very, very strong love connection. And as I say, you're going to be hearing some really interesting stories about how you are never too old. I really do believe that. And it is never too late. And I have seen women and men in their 70s and 80s when I was living and working in Sarasota, Florida, who not only found love, they also found their sexuality in ways that they and even myself, that we never really dreamed possible that it could happen at that stage of life. So for those of you who are actually listening to the Ask Beatty Show for the very, very first time, I am a psychotherapist and a sex therapist, and I am the author of the groundbreaking book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. And this is a book that I actually wrote for my daughter, Jordana. And I did research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence area a number of years ago. And I came up with a formula. And for people who know me, they know that I'm very bottom line. If it doesn't work, then let's not waste our time talking about it. But this formula teaches us exactly how to assess who is right for you and who is wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. And the book and the formula has been used by thousands of people around the world, because the reality is that if we are looking for love, I have found that there are really three things that we need to do, not just think about, not just dream about. And of course, the first thing is that each of us needs to be in a really good place ourselves, emotionally and psychologically and physically and psychiatrically. And as I used to tell Jordana, my daughter, the relationship needs to be the icing on the cake. And we need to be the cake. We need to be solid, and we need to have our own life pretty much together. And number two, we need to become students of relationships, and we need to actually learn the ingredients that go into a long-term successful relationship, if that's the kind of relationship you're looking for. And then, of course, three is my formula. So on this show, I mean, the show is really about empowerment. So we talk about all of the things that we can all do to improve the quality of our lives and our relationships. So we discuss mental health issues and sexuality and, of course, relationships. And again, how and what to do to maximize our physical, our emotional well-being, despite the stressors of life. And no one, of course, is immune from the challenges and the stressors of life. And I have a mantra, and I think that this mantra really came about as a result of being a competitive tennis player in Canada all of my life. And my father, the late Maurice Serre, was my coach. He was my tennis coach. He was also probably my life coach off the court. sports. And he had a philosophy of never, ever, ever giving up. So if there were issues, and of course we all need to deal with our issues at one time or another, my mantra is to acknowledge. We need to be willing to acknowledge the things that are both working and not working in our lives. So we need to acknowledge and be willing to address, and more importantly, to resolve as best as we can, knowing, of course, that we can't change history, the things, and of course, let me just add to the people that get in the way of our being able to live a joyful life. And I've been doing the show, the Ask Beauty Show here on the Progressive Radio Network since 2013. And prior to that, I had a number of Ask Beauty shows on both television and mainstream radio. And what I can say is that I have hoped that over all of these years that I have convinced you that we do not need to take this journey on our own. And reaching out to family and friends and professionals, if need be, makes our life journey easier and less isolated, alienated, and lonely. And a patient of mine, a couple of months ago, she sent me a text, and it's really a wonderful reminder, I think, for all of us. And that is to say no to the things, people, and places that steal our joy. So, you know, the homework that I give my patients after every single session, regardless of the, in quotes, presenting problem or the problems that we're dealing with, is to make sure as we navigate our days and our nights, that we are really living our life in ways that are in our best interest. And every single week, I ask you really the same questions, because I want you to be mindful and I want you to be careful that you are taking care of yourself as best as you can, and that you are not engaging in destructive or self-destructive or self-sabotaging behavior. And, you know, I sometimes ask people to just kind of graph, take some notes during the day and see whether or not you are really on a positive track, and that, in fact, you are living your life in ways that are really in our best interest. So my question, of course, to you is, how am I doing? My mental health, are you taking care of perhaps the depression or the anxiety or other psychological or psychiatric issues that really have been robbing you of living a really wonderful and joyful life? You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, someday I should take care of this. And I was counseling a young teenager a couple of days ago who had been verbally, physically, sexually abused by his mother over really most of his young childhood. And I was telling him that he was in a wonderful position in his life at age 15, where he was now tackling the trauma that he had sustained from really the time he was born. And I think that what happens oftentimes is that we wait too long, so that if you find that you are struggling with any mental health issues or substance abuse issues, today is the day. And, you know, we can't change yesterday. We can't change something that's happened a couple of seconds ago, but today is a new day, and you can begin a new trajectory in all kinds of ways in your life beginning today. So again, it's about, how am I doing when it comes to my mental health? How am I doing when it comes to my relationships? for example, do you have people in your life? And if you do, you're very fortunate, who care about you and who you can really depend on, not just about when you're enjoying shopping or going for dinner, but if you're having a bad day, are you lucky enough? Are you lucky enough to be able to pick up the phone or text or email or Zoom and say, look, I'm having a really, really bad day, knowing that there is going to be someone there who's going to be able to say to you, I am actually here for you. It's so very important. And on the other hand, I think that we have to be very, very conscious of people in our lives who may rob us of our joys. And of course, it takes a lot of courage to be able to accept the fact that there are relationships that really we should not be engaging in under any circumstances at all. And I do not suggest for one moment that if there are problems that you're supposed to run away from your problems. Again, it's always about trying to mend hurts as best as we possibly can. But if you find yourself in relationships, whether or not it's with families or lovers or partners or friends or colleagues, where the relationships are really poisonous, it's going to be up to you. I think if we wait for other people to change, we're going to wait a very, very, very long time. So it's going to take a lot of courage for you to give yourself permission and extricate yourself from relationships that are poisonous. And, you know, some people will say to me, some patients will say to me, well, it's not always bad. Well, my philosophy is that a little bit of poison nonetheless is still poison. And when it comes to our physical health, you know, it's very important. And, you know, Dr. Gary Null talks about this every single day, about your stress by exercising and having sufficient kinds of sleep. And these are things that we really do need to monitor ourselves. Otherwise, life can really, it can go by, and we find out, unfortunately, that we have wasted a lot of time and that we have not been on the right track. So again, it's about being mindful of the things that we all need to actually do that are in our best interest. Well, I promised you today that we were not going to be focusing on the millions of people in the United States who are dealing and suffering from depression or anxiety disorders, and that I was not going to be focusing on the divorce rate, but I do need to mention the statistics. The divorce rate for first marriages is 48%. The divorce rate for second marriages happens to be 67%. And what about third marriage? Do you think that we are doing better or worse? Well, the divorce statistic for third marriages happens to be 73%. And yet that does not mean that we are not able to learn the ABCs of healthy relationships. So before I introduce my guests, after all, it is Valentine's Day, and I think that we need to find ways to uplift ourselves, not only today, but every day. I was talking to my husband yesterday, and I was saying, you know what, I'm looking for a really uplifting song about love. So we were Googling different songs on the computer, and my favorite song appeared, and that is You Can't Hurry Love by The Supremes. So let us enjoy this song for a while, and then I'm going to introduce two really, really terrific guests and authors who have just come out with two really wonderful books. So You Can't Hurry Love by The Supremes. That's really the reality, is that sometimes we just need to wait. So I am so thrilled to be able to introduce my two guests today. The first new author is Nancy Rip White. Nancy, welcome to the Ask Beattie Show.
Happy Valentine's Day, Beatty. I'm so glad to be here. It's my favorite topic.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you. And I want to let the audience know a little bit about you. You describe yourself as an incurable romantic. You've been married and divorced, and you've been a dater, a single mom. As you say, you kissed your share of frogs and princesses, broken a few hearts along the way, had your heart broken like all of us. And of course, you've gone through the throes of love and loss and remorse. And on top of that, you've had many, many joyful, fulfilling loves. And I have to tell you, when your book arrived, I absolutely read the entire 50 stories in one sitting. I couldn't put it down. And Nancy's book is It Can Happen to You, 50 Serendipitous, Unexpected, Out of the Blue, Life-Changing Love Stories. Loved, loved, loved the book. And of course, it's published by Three Tomatoes Book Publishing. And before we get into the detail of your book, I really also want to introduce my other guest. And Kate Somerset, welcome to the Ask Beatty Show.
Thank you so much, Beatty, and happy Valentine's Day from me as well, and to Nancy.
Well, it's, you know what, I haven't actually met either of these two women. I'm looking forward at some time very, very soon to be able to meet you both in person. Well, Kate Somerset, this is her pen name, inspired by her daughter's challenge to get a life after 24 years of marriage. And Kate's book, and I absolutely, absolutely love the title, Mom, You Just Need to Get Laid. So you were newly single, and you had a lot of courage to move to New York City. And Kate's book is about 15 hilarious, real dating stories about yourself, right?
That is correct. Yes, 15 men, 15 stories, and 15 song titles. And you just picked one of them from the book, which made me laugh. So I paired the songs with the men, and we could talk about that later. But that You Can't Hurry Love is one of my favorites.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I love about, you know, both of your books is that, you know, you've really made the point is that it doesn't matter whether or not you're divorced or whether or not you've been widowed, that it is never too late to really want to put yourself out and find love. And, you know, let's start with you, Nancy. The 50 stories about different couples, how did you find the couples, and why and how did you think about writing the book about all of these different wonderful, wonderful connections?
Oh, that's a question I love to answer. It all began for me, just a little backstory. It all began for me at sleepaway camp when I was 13, and I had a boyfriend. And the other girls thought I knew something, but I didn't. I knew nothing, but they wanted to pick my brain, and every night would sit on my bunk and talk about strategizing how to get boyfriends. And that led to my fascination about relationships. And eventually, I did become a certified life coach. But along the way, I asked everyone I met in restaurants, at parties, how did you meet? I was so interested and curious as to how they met. And so that really was my hobby. And I loved hearing all the stories, but the ones I was most interested in were the serendipitous, out of the blue, blink of an eye, unexpected stories. And that's how the book came about.
And I think, too, it's so important for all of us to be very aware of what it is that we are projecting when we leave our apartments or when we leave our homes. You know, I had a patient, I'll tell you both a cute story that happened many, many years ago. I had a patient who I was treating, And her greatest desire in the world was, of course, to find a partner, somebody who was going to love her and someone who she could love. And she was clinically depressed, and we were working through a lot of the issues, her horrific childhood, etc. And I asked her one day, I said, you know, you're talking about wanting to find love, and you say that you're looking for love. And I was very curious how she projected herself as she was, you know, walking around the city, and how she really dealt with people. So I asked her, her homework was to ask some of the people how it was that she came across. And she came back and she was shocked. She said, my friends and people, they were, you know, reluctant to be really honest with me, but they all came back and said that I'm basically wearing a sign that says stay away from me. And that was a real revelation for her. I mean, it wasn't obviously that she was wearing a sign, but that was the way she was coming across. And when you Nancy talk about, you know, meeting you know, in an unexpected way, I mean, it depends so much on how we're putting ourselves out there. What are we projecting to the world?
Agreed. That's a great exercise. I found that out of the 50 stories, many, many of them came with old beliefs that they're too old, they're unlucky in love, all men are jerks, I'm not good enough, I'm afraid I'll get hurt again. And so they shut down for many of them. But still, through it all, a serendipitous occurrence happened. And then, of course, the work on themselves, had they worked on themselves, makes it that much easier once they do have that encounter. But it's definitely the old beliefs that stopped them in their tracks or past hurts.
Right. And I think that, you know, probably you would both agree that, you know, we, each of us really does have to be in a good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically, if you heard my introductory remarks, and that the relationship, I believe, does need to be the icing on the cake. And we need to feel good about ourselves, whether or not we have a partner, whether or not we don't have a partner, and be willing, you know, how many people, especially, you know, with the pandemic, you know, if you see somebody in a grocery store, if you're standing in line somewhere, how many people do you think these days are wanting and able and willing to take the risk to say hello? Just to say hello. And this is what you're talking about, Nancy, right? Just the unexpected, out of the blue kind of situation.
Well, it's funny, Beatty, because that's one of my stories. One of the women was shopping for, I think in Trader Joe, shopping for bananas. And a gentleman came up and he started singing Fly Me to the Moon. And that did it. He took himself out of his comfort zone, sang a song to a stranger, and they've been together many, many years. So it's being open and working on yourself, of course, at the same time, that when it does happen, you're ready.
No, exactly true. You know, Kate, when I was looking through all of the material that you sent me, I mean, I was, of course, very much wowed by Jack Canfield. Of course, everybody knows Jack Canfield, the co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And I want to read what he said about your book, because it is very, very impressive. And this is what Jack Canfield says about Mom, You Just Need to Get Laid. In a world craving human connection, this is the book you've been waiting for. Reading it invites a roller coaster of emotions, laughter, surprise, delight, shock, joy, and hope in a unique telling of 15 one-of-a-kind dating experiences. The irrepressible Kate Somerset teaches life lessons on a brave journey to find herself in New York City. And this is the line that I loved the most that he wrote. This isn't just a book about dating. It's about having a possibility mindset in life. No matter your own circumstance, you'll be inspired to get out of your comfort zone, believe in yourself, and embrace the future. That's quite an endorsement, Kate.
Well, thank you. Jack was so generous, and I really appreciated it. He's a wonderful man, and he's written so many powerful books about leadership. And it reminds me to say to your audience and to you and Nancy that the reason that I wrote the book is not because, you know, I love your story, Nancy, that you were at sleepaway camp and you're telling everybody how to find a boyfriend. In my case, I had moved to New York from Texas after a very tumultuous end to a long marriage, and I was just not even planning to date. In fact, I really thought that part of me was closed off, as you said, Biddy, at the beginning. You know, we don't know what we can experience later in life if we're not open to it. So I came to New York. I found work. I found a new way of living. And I brought with me the cultural Southern thing, which is you look at people and you speak to people in the subway and in the grocery store and on the street. And I just didn't know any better. And that's part of the reason why I think I had success in meeting people and having them respond positively to me. I really think the message of my book, the micro message, is just entertainment. My stories are so hard to imagine that they could really have happened. They're all so different, and all the 15 men are so different, that it is an interesting collection. But the macro message is that we have to believe in ourselves. I couldn't have gone out on one date if I hadn't thought that somehow I could believe in myself enough to get enough courage to do this after a very long marriage and divorce. So that's what.
Well, you know what was so interesting when I was reading through the material, you said, this is how you started. This is what you said. Dating was an obvious way, and the speediest approach was to go online. And this is amazing. So I created a dating profile, of course, many people do, and you joined 5 online dating sites. I mean, that is really amazing. And what was even more amazing, and, you know, people need to hear this, that, you know, things can happen, because so often, you know, as you were both saying, you know, I'll hear, there are no good men. There are no good men in New York. There are no good men in the world. And I'm constantly trying to get people to realize, yes, they may have had bad experiences, disappointing experience, but there are good people. And we need to not close ourselves off to possibilities. But what you said, Kate, was incredible. The first week, you said, I had 8 dates in 7 days. I mean, some people can't get a date in a year or in 2 years. It was exhilarating to me, while others might find it exhausting. I approached it like a job, and good for you. What a great attitude. I mean, how did you find it within yourself, as you say, after a long marriage and a difficult ending to your marriage? How did you do this? 8 dates, 7 days, 5 online sites.
You know, it really was fun. And yes, there was rejection. Yes, there were people that were not very nice people. But most, as you say, most people, men or women, who are looking for a relationship are putting themselves out there in a very brave way. And they're courageous. And we all have an agenda to date. My agenda was simply to build community, because I was in a brand new place. I knew no one. And for me, getting an opportunity to meet men and women was really the start of a friendship. And that's how I treated every single one of these opportunities for a date. Some of these men obviously turned out to be more than just, you know, a 1 or 2 time experience in terms of the date. And if, you know, reading my book, my 15 chapters, some of them are stories of one date. Some of them are stories of my being in a relationship for 3 and 4 and 5 months and some longer. So that suggests to you that I was overlapping dating, which is a whole other story. But I, you know, I really was not about finding romance. It was fun that I did, but I feel that so many people who've divorced and have gone through challenges, as Nancy described, so many of her couples have, you know, we curl up in a ball and say, we can't do it, we've been hurt. But that's the exact wrong approach, because then you will continue to be isolated. You can't make connections if you have that approach. So the five dating sites, back to your question, BD, I just, you know, Texas people go big. And I came to New York and thought, this is the same approach I've got to use in New York. One man described me as big hair, big personality, which I to his daughter, actually, which was even funnier. But, you know, I don't think of myself as being someone who's so different in appearance than New Yorkers, except that I always wear makeup. I always wear jewelry. I'm always dressed. I don't ever go anywhere that in sweats, because that's just sort of something I'm not used to doing. And so maybe that made me different, and maybe people were interested in speaking to me. Every one of those online sites, media, is different. You know, everyone has a different algorithm. You approach the creation of the profile differently. And I met, of the 15 men in the book, I met 9 of them online and the balance in person. And some of them were very serendipitous, as Nancy describes. So much fun with your book, Nancy, and all these amazing experiences for the couples that you tell the stories about. But, you know, I really think that each dating site had a different kind of man on it. And so I could go back and tell you, for the 5th or the 9 men that I met online, which ones went to which dating site. I definitely have a favorite. And it's not an age thing. It's just that site seemed more accessible to me to meet people that I really enjoy getting to know.
Well, do tell us, what is the site?
Okay, all right. I should get free publicity for this. Bumble. The reason Bumble is so much easier for women to use is that women get to make the first move. The female founder of Bumble recognized initially that when you have a site where either party, and typically it's the male who makes the first move in some of the other sites, you can't set the tone. And I love being the first person to begin the messaging. And so with Bumble, I got that opportunity. And I'm not a person, and neither of you two would be either, that just begins a conversation with hi, which is what so many men say on a dating site. You know, hi, and then what do you say to hi? So I would say several, 2 or 3 sentences, and always comment on the man's profile and something I liked about it. And I even had the experience of seeing men who are outside my geographic range, but if I found them attractive, I would say to them, I really like your profile. I like X, Y, or Z, whatever it is. We're too far apart, but I hope you find your girl. And I cannot tell you how many men wrote me back and said, what a classy thing to do. I'd love to come meet you anyway. Nobody's ever said that to me. So that's just a little tip. Somebody can have that and use it. I met several men like that because they loved that I would say that to them.
So you were very, very strategic. And with Nancy and the book that you wrote, which I just loved, I'm looking at the cover right now with the 2 swans, It Can Happen to You. The people in your book, were they also approaching love and relationships in a similar strategic way? Because it seemed it was very different, that it was much more unexpected and it was much more out of the blue than Kate's.
Exactly. Just the opposite.
Right.
Most of the people I interviewed, and they really ran the gamut from ages, from, I think the youngest was 14 when she had a crush. They didn't get together until 17 years later. The oldest was 75, who is still married. I think he's 90 and she's 82. But all of them had a common theme. And it seems like they were the ones after Kate, after they went through all the dating sites, after they had disappointment after disappointment. They were just the opposite of Kate. But the common thread that ran through all my stories was that every one of them woke up in the morning with nobody in sight. There was no boyfriend, no hope for meeting someone. And by the end of the evening, some unexpected event occurred, and they were in the beginnings of a new romance. And many of them
You know, what's so interesting is you say that they were all alone, but what they did do, they didn't stay in their apartments. They didn't stay in their houses, regardless of how they may have been feeling at the time. On any given day, they put themselves out there. That's the common thread.
Except for Allison, who during the pandemic, Allison was 31 or 32, happily dating, and felt she had time. She did want a family, but she had a little time. And then guess what? The pandemic struck. And there she was questioning her path. Many of her friends were in relationships or married, and so they were not alone during the pandemic. So the wonderful life that she had before, she was doubting herself, until one night, close to midnight, she was wearing a mask, in her sweats, in a ponytail, went out to take out the garbage. The elevator opened to a man wearing a mask with a dog who she had never seen before. They started talking. He was a quarantine in his cousin's apartment. He was from California. They sat on the floor for about an hour getting to know each other and decided to meet the next night, same floor, out in the hallway. And they got along so well, they decided to take COVID tests, and they quarantined together. And he proposed on the anniversary of their first meeting at the elevator, unmasked with the dog, and they're getting married next month.
I mean, that's an absolutely beautiful story. And I think about so often, you know, you use the example of an elevator. How many times when, of course, we have an elevator in our building, but how many times are you both in elevators, or were you both in elevators where you wouldn't even look in another direction other than just hoping that the door, you know, was going to open on the floor that you were needing to go to, where you would never, ever even consider making any kind of overture of any kind to anyone. Now, in your example, they spoke to each other. Somebody initiated some kind of interaction, because had there been two people in an elevator, Nancy, where typically people would never even look at each other, leave alone talk to each other, the marriage that's going to be taking place would never have happened. There would never have been anything that would have happened between the two of them. But here were people who, again, in an elevator with their masks on, made some small talk, put themselves out, and what a beautiful, beautiful story.
That's so true. I do have an elevator story where they actually met in the elevator with her dress was unzipped. They had a lovely conversation. He was an attractive man. She never saw him before. And why was her a jumpsuit unzipped? Because she couldn't reach it, and she was asking the doorman. And that's how they met. So you're absolutely right. There has to be some communication. There has to be some connection where people go out of their comfort zone and are friendly.
Exactly. And we all have to be aware, and I think ask ourselves, especially if we're wanting to connect, are we wearing the sign, like my former patient discovered, that reads "Stay away from me"? And it's some self-awareness and introspection and honesty that we need to become aware of. Because if you're wearing that sign, nobody is going to ever approach you, right?
Exactly. I call it polishing your diamond.
Love it.
Are you there? So polishing your diamond is really taking all of the self-esteem, self-confidence, self-worth, all the self, and really using them to work on ourselves and feel the empowerment that comes along with it. And I think that is what opens us up to the possibilities when they do show up right in our face.
Kate, when you started to date, when you had 8 dates in 7 days, which I totally love, were you in a good place emotionally and psychologically? I mean, look, it had been a long marriage. You said that it was a difficult divorce. Were you, because you sound just so energetic, so wonderful right now, so positive. Were you in a similar place back then when you started to date? I mean, after a long, long 24-year marriage.
I was, and I have to say that I've learned in my life, all of us have challenges, and mine included a challenging marriage. It had also included a cancer experience that was really redefined my life. And I learned that to put my most positive self forward, I had to believe that I could do anything. And, of course, I've been disabused of that notion a lot. But when I was going through the separation before I was divorced, I was seeing a therapist, both for myself and my daughter Ella's sake, the one who gave me the "Mom, you just need to get laid" title. And I said to my therapist, I don't understand what's going on with me, because in 24 years of marriage, I've never looked at a man outside of marriage. I never even considered dating. But now I'm seeing that men are talking to me and they're starting conversations, and I'm not rejecting that opportunity. What do you think's happening? And to your point, he said, it's simple. The universe brings to you what you're open to receiving. And so we send off signals that tell people that we're available, back to your person who wore the sign, the pseudo sign, that right. She wasn't available. I think in my attitude was that I was available and I wanted to be available, and not available in the dating sense as much, just available to the world. I wanted people to get to know me, and I wanted to know them, and the only way that was going to happen was if I could approach them where they were. I have this list of 10 date like Kate guide points, and one really? Of them is that we have to be approachable.
Right.
You know, I've had men say to me, "You are so interested in me." And that is my goal in life. Just like Nancy talked about it, being interested in how people meet, so am I. I'm also really interested in people. And I've spent entire dates where I asked every question and learned a lot about that person. And they were thinking I was the best conversationalist that they had ever run across. And the truth was, I just was asking questions. One of the men that I describe in the book, Christopher, and I had a 5.5-hour first date. It was lunch. We sat through Rosa Mexicana, which is a chain Mexican restaurant in New York. We were at the one across from Lincoln Center. And we went through the lunch menu, the happy hour menu, and they brought dinner menus. And about 4 hours into it, I had asked him so many questions, and he kept telling me his story, which I was fascinated by. And he said, "Okay, enough talking about me, please. Let's talk about you." And then he said, "So how do you like me?" Which was so funny, so disarming. You know, he was still on his topic of himself, but asking me how I felt about him. And it's that we have to be available and willing to listen. And listening and curiosity are the two greatest connection skills there are. I'm writing a book about leadership and connection, and this is about dating connection, but the same applies in the workplace, with our families, with our friends. We have to listen to them, really be present, really care, and be curious about what's going on in their lives.
No, exactly. You're exactly right. And Nancy, even though your 50 couples were not intentional, apparently, at least on a conscious level, okay, maybe unconsciously, they were really hoping to find somebody. And, you know, I sound like the therapist right now, but, you know, perhaps. But what is so striking, Nancy, is that when they did put themselves out there and they did go to the event or they did meet, people in throughout their days, there was an openness. There had to have been an openness. Otherwise, there would not have been a connection with any of these couples.
Totally agree with you. And that's why I put a section in my book asking each of these 50 couples to give some pearls of wisdom, to give some nuggets to pass on to readers who may be in the place that they were. And so much of it was learn to love yourself, find your personal joy, live your life to the fullest, don't quit before the miracle, keep growing. And the ones that don't throw in the towel, those are the ones that are so difficult when people are so shut down and they really have those old beliefs that it's not going to happen to them. So that's what hopefully my message is. Keep working on yourself as you're open and out of your comfort zone.
You know, you're absolutely right. And again, both of you, and of course, this is always the first thing that I talk about that's so important, you know, if you're wanting to have a good relationship with anybody, which is, of course, having a good relationship with yourself. But you're both really saying exactly the same thing, that even the unexpected connections sound like the people were in a pretty good place themselves, psychologically, emotionally, and that they were open to possibilities of connection. And of course, with you, Kate, it was very clear you were intentional, but you were also, from what you're saying, in a pretty good place to be able to put yourself out in the way that you did in a brand new city. I mean, so impressive. But again, we need to be okay and the relationship needs to be the icing on the cake. I mean, both of you, I think that those are the themes in why you've, Kate, had success and why your 50 couples had success, Nancy.
Yes, that is the icing on the cake. Someone said something that I just want to share with you. She said that finding love is like chasing a butterfly in an open field. If we try too hard, it evades us. If we're at peace with ourselves, just like the butterfly, it will land on our shoulder when we least expect it. And that was from one of the couples who shared their story. And this is why I was so touched by every single contributor to my story, or to my book, because they all had their unique stories. Some were pretty despondent, and I do agree with you. They were all secretly hoping that it would happen for them as well.
And they all, in your book, Nancy, and in your own situation, Kate, they all, I'm using the word risk because it's scary. It's hard, especially after a divorce and long-term marriage, to be able to, you know, say to yourself, I'm going to try again. I'm going to put myself out despite the fact that I've been in pain, I've been in disappointment, the divorce was a difficult divorce, which of course divorces always are, but there was something, you know, it's something inside all of these people, of course, and you as well, Kate, the message was, I'm going to move forward, I'm not going to give up, and I'm hoping to connect and find love. And I guess, Kate, I'm curious. So did you find love?
Oh, Kate never kisses and tells. But of the 15 men, I would say there were some definite possibilities in the group. I want to go back to something that you said, Biddy, and Nancy, you've echoed this too. When I wrote the 15 stories, I then summarized with three key points that I wanted takeaways for the reader. And the first one is that there is not just one person who's destined for us. There are many possibilities of where we might find romance. It depends on who crosses paths with us. It depends on what initiative we take. It depends on where we live. It's good luck and serendipity, the combination. So people have this view of, oh, I had my love, I lost my love, and there's no one else for me. But that's simply not true. We can recouple with a different set of rewards in different times of our lives. So I think I'm like a cat with nine lives. I don't know what life I'm on, but certainly we, as we get older, we realize that time is so much more precious than we knew when we were younger. The second is that dating takes self-esteem, which we've all been talking about, but it also takes courage. I can't tell you, I don't even want to begin to minimize how scary it was for me to move from Texas, my established life, my role in the community. No one thought I would leave, and I thought I had to. I thought I just can't have a new life, and it was so frightening to me in every way, emotionally, financially, you know, physically, and yet it was the best thing I could have ever done. So the courage it takes is maybe equivalent to the confidence that you have in yourself. So that's the second point. The third point is that who you will be attracted to, and this is where the serendipity comes in, Nancy. I just love that you have concentrated on this. Who you will be attracted to and who will be attracted to you comes down to one thing, and that is chemistry. And that you know, that inexplicable feeling that we have that tells us this person is for me or this person isn't for me. And it's not a judgment. It's a sort of an electrical jolt. And so I really think we have to put ourselves out there enough times to know if, in fact, the people that we're meeting, we have chemistry with. Terrible sentence to end with a preposition, but you know what I mean.
And let me just say also that I think that sometimes we need to go back for a second look. That initial meeting, that initial encounter may have been lackluster in some way, but I've heard from so many people over the years that going back for that second and sometimes for that third look gives you all kinds of new information, including potential chemistry that may not have been there during the first date. You know, I'm looking at the clock here, Kate and Nancy. I don't even know where this hour has actually come and gone, but I want people to be able to buy your books. Now, Kate Somerset's book, Mom, You Just Need to Get Laid, The Adventures of Dating After Divorce. Now, people can purchase this on Amazon. Is that correct?
That is correct, and the audiobook is on Audible, and the narrator, the audiobook was published by Three Tomatoes, and the narrator for that book is Laura Patinkin, who's a Broadway actress and cousin of Mandy Patinkin, and she is phenomenal. She did all the men in different voices, and she did me in my little slightly southern voice, and she just brings so much energy and fun to the book. So either if you're an audiobook listener or not, Amazon and Audible for me.
Terrific. And Nancy Ripp White, her book is It Can Happen to You, 50 Serendipitous, Unexpected, Out of the Blue, Life-Changing Life Stories. And this also can be purchased on Amazon?
Yes, on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, on Shakespeare, all bookstores online.
Terrific. And there is an archive section, by the way, on the Progressive Radio Network. And tomorrow I will send you the link, and I want you both to feel free to use, you know, the show in any way that you would like. And I want to thank you both so, so, so much for, you know, being guests on the Ask Dee Dee Show. And what you had to say today, I hope, is going to help people to become more motivational and inspirational and put themselves out there. And more importantly, you're never too old and it's never too late to find the love of your life. So again, thank you so much, and looking forward to meeting you both in person soon.
Thank you. We so look forward to it as well.
Thank you. Take care. Well, everybody, my heavens, this is an interesting Valentine's Day show. And I think that it is really so important that, you know, whether or not it's wanting to find love or finding a job or wanting to make changes in our life, we have to find the courage, despite the fact that we may be afraid and we've had bad experiences in our past, to be able to move forward. And as I've always said, if we don't ask for what we want, if we don't go after the things that we really want or that are really important, it's not going to happen. And of course, as I mentioned, every single week, we do not need to navigate these travels on our own. And if you have friends and family, hopefully you're going to be able to reach out to them and get a lot of support. And if you need professional help, please, please, please do not hesitate. It is not a weakness. It is a strength. And after all, you look at all the professional athletes, they all have teams of people that are helping them every single step of the way. So again, I want to thank you all so much for listening as you do every single week. And I want to leave you with my two weekly messages. And of course, the first is something that the authors and myself, we've talked a lot about today, is to do whatever it is that you need to do to find ways to really love yourself and do what is in your best interest. And of course, secondly, we all need to do a much, 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 much better job in learning to love each other. So again, I hope you have a good rest of the day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And I will be with you next Monday and every Monday live from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Progressive Radio Network. So have a good rest of the day. Be well. Take care of yourself. Love each other and love yourself. And I'll talk with you next week. Bye-bye.